Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wished for something with all your heart, but didn't have the words or the vision to call it into existence? Don't feel like a lone ranger. There are countless souls wandering around aimlessly, looking for their missing pieces in life that will complete their big picture of living an abundant, radiant, and thriving life. Today, each and every person suffers from I.O., information overload. We are bombarded with never-ending words. However, I.O. leaves us asking, now what? Where do I go from here? Where do you go to consciously find your way to receive the answers you desire, to improve your life, health status, your proper lifestyle, your family's health and welfare, is to the now what, where do I go from here? The Star Waters and Sandy Rogers Show, airing each Thursday from 2 to 3:30 p.m., is where you'll find your answers. Star and Sandy know how confusing it is having this expert or that health professional barking at you with their opinions of what they know you should be eating, which pill for every ill is just right for you, or what you should be thinking about the availability of your time when it comes to providing healthy food for you and your loved ones. When you are constantly convinced that you lack the time to prepare your own food made with ingredients you purposely add and know it is safe and nutritious, you are now being programmed to eat fast, eat processed, because you're too busy. Don't believe the hype. Together, these wellness advocates will provide cutting-edge information, straight no chasers, to educate you and give you the words and vision to ask the question, now what? Where do I go from here?
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the year 2020. Today is January the 2nd, and I am so excited to be bringing you this show, the very first one of this new, clearer vision year of 2020. So thank you and welcome, and we appreciate you being with us today. And Star and I have been on this journey of wellness for a very long time, and so we're excited to be able to bring you the different experts that we have that will be sharing with you from their storehouse. And so we have an incredible guest today, and I will be introducing Mr. Ade shortly. But there's a couple of things that we do in order to prepare ourselves for this show. And the very first thing that we do is we give thanks to the ancestors, all of our ancestors, for their many gifts and blessings that they bestow upon us each and every time that we ask for their assistance. We stand on their shoulders for strength, knowledge, excellence, fortitude, resilience, just everything, because they have given us the road to follow, the journey, and they have demonstrated to us the ways of wisdom. And so we know better and we do better as we follow their golden wisdom, health and wellness. It is such an extreme honor to be able to stand on the shoulders of our ancestors and to give thanks to them on a daily basis. So, ancestors, we looking into 2020, and we know you guys, and we give so much thanks and so much gratitude to you. Whew. Yes, yes, 2020, you guys. 1-2 today, January 2020. What you got, Miss Star?
Hello, audience.
Hey.
Hello, world. Hello, Sandy.
Hello, Star.
Happy New Year. Happy New Life. Happy New Visionaries for the year.
You got any words of wisdom?
Ooh.
Oh, special,
yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah.
Special.
Go
forward.
Ahead. Oh, ma'am. Oh, yes, I sure do. Please let me share. Here it comes. So, as Sandy spoke earlier, as she was opening up our show today about this being a new year and a year of perfect and clearer vision, ooh, what I have to share is, as they say, R-O-T, right on time. Spirit does mm-hmm. not play around when it comes time to giving us the messages we need to know. So here we go. This message says, the dog is sometimes smarter than the owner. It's from a Yoruba proverb. The tongue has no mind of its own. Like a dog, the tongue follows where the owner leads. If the owner leads the dog into harm's way, the dog will not question the direction or intent. The same is true for the tongue. Unlike the dog, however, the tongue has a power the owner may not always be aware of. The tongue can create. The intent of the mind creates a force for the tongue. The power of this force will materialize as a physical condition or an emotional state for the owner. The tongue knows even where the owner forgets. What you say is what you get, whether you want it or not. And the affirmation for this piece is, I speak with a conscious tongue.
Mm.
Woo-hoo! Viewers,
love
listeners,
it.
Our audience, Sandy, Star, a reminder even to us, although we've been preaching this for about the last 2 weeks, we have just entered the year of the mouth. The year of the mouth, and that's where the tongue is housed. It's in our mouth. And the creative powers that be that lead us to prosperity and freedom and peace and all things wonderfully gifted by our Creator rest in what our tongue has to say this year. So think twice even before you speak, because this power, this gift is so powerful that it reacts immediately. And I've seen it happen, and my daughter has been a witness of speaking something, and it just magically materializes and appears. I was going to my closet just yesterday and said, I've got to get a coat. And before I got there, a coat dropped from the rack on the floor. I mean, I didn't even get in the closet. I mean, this is powerful, people. This may sound a little woo-woo, but hey, the power is in the tongue for each and every one of us. There's no one left behind, okay? So you will attract, even by default, what you speak. So that's the word I have for our listeners and as a reminder for ourselves today, Sandy?
Well, thank you, Star. I love that. The year of the mouth, you guys. That's powerful. Be conscientious of your words, as Star have just told you. They will manifest immediately for you. Choose your words wisely. That's about the best that we could do for you. The rest of it's on you, man. You know, we can't do everything for you. We can just bring you the knowledge and let you use it to your benefit. So, Star, that was great. And so, so, so appropriate. Oh, my God. Yes, yes.
Right on time. Right on time.
Yes,
yes.
Yes. So thank you guys for being with us today. And we invite you to eavesdrop on our conversation that we're going to have with Audet. And Audet, oh, my God, he is such a powerful, powerful, powerful individual. And so, audience, you know you're invited to join in the discussion, and we welcome all comments from you. But once your line is open by hitting the number 1 on your phone dial, that lets us know you want to speak live with us. If you are not speaking directly or you've ended the comments that you had to make, if you would just mute your line until you're ready to say something again. The microphones are very sensitive and pick up all background noise. So that would be our only warning to you, is that you're considerate, because there's a lot of people that don't get a chance to listen to the live show, and they go back and listen to the rebroadcast. And you may want to do the same. Once you hear Audet's story, you'll probably want to hear it over and over and over again. He is so inspirational. And so you can always do that by going to the website, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers. That's SandyRogers. So you're listening to Now I Go From Here. Our guest today is Audet Alude, and he was born in London, England, but he's actually Nigerian. And so he has just this rich, rich foundation of himself as a individual. And so that he comes from the motherland, from Africa, with the, like I said, the Nigerian background. That's his family heritage. And so he comes to us with a heart of gold. His wealth is in his happiness. I have yet to see him upset or disturbed by any outside influence. He's been in a car accident back in 2015, broken bones, broken other things, but never his spirit. And he refused the pharmaceuticals. And so he was able to heal his body after being in that accident, being a vegan, no pharmaceuticals, and being homeless. And he's just an inspiration. I just absolutely adore this man, absolutely. And without further delay, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Mr. Audet Alude, the vegan runner, and have him to bring you what he has to gift us with today. Thank you for being with us, Audet.
Thank you. Thank you, Miss Sandy.
See, he's already smiling, I told you.
he has me smiling. I'm smiling too. Yeah.
I'm always smiling.
Yeah.
I'm always smiling because how do I say it? I think it's a journey of self-realization for me, because, like you said, I was born in England and my parents are West Africans. And what actually really got me started running was when I lived in Nigeria as a little boy, my grandmother told me I was a generation away from being a slave. So I'm like, what the biscuit are you talking about? And she told me how I have relatives in the United States. And I never knew America existed. So, and the Jamaica, the Caribbean. So when I moved here and I saw black people, I lost it. So I began to read. And that anger is what made me start running. I read every slave book you could ever think of. I was a Black Panther. I was it. I was so biscuit mad. And I was mad in a sense because, you know, I used to play professional soccer in England too. And I have been very disrespectful to my African heritage because growing up, being African wasn't cool. You got to talk properly. We read the dictionary. We have to speak the proper English. And, you know, the more I really come to find out that it's a bunch of biscuits. And that's how I started. running. But I knew I could run 100 miles because I truly believe in a woman deity. I knew I could run 100 miles when I saw my ex-wife gave birth to my son. That day when I saw what a woman had to go through, the way she was in labor and she did not take no pills, I knew I can run 100 miles, and I did. You know,
wow.
And that's why when I got hit by a car, the inspiration actually came because of that. So I remember that day Mr. came to visit me. And I was in the conscious, you know, crying like a little baby. But then I said, hey, how you doing? And I go in the car. Then she talks about, oh, she's fasting for 100 days. And I'm like, what? And I could hear my brain telling me. And all I heard in my head is telling me, so, see, you're a chicken. And I remember that day I couldn't walk. But the second morning I got up, I walked 2.5 miles, and it took me 3 hours.
Were you on crutches at that time?
I was on crutches, but I was determined that I'm going to walk. You know, that was the next day. That was February of 2016. And I walked 2.4 miles, and it took me 3 hours. And that's how I started. Yes. And I remember when I got hit by a car, they gave me some pills, but I just could not take it. Because what I realized with these pills is, you know, I'm normally a happy person. But what those pills were making me do, it makes me just want to sleep. And I started having thoughts that I never experienced. So I stopped taking it. And the pain, that's when I realized that physical pain is not compared. You can't compare it to emotional pain. Physical pain always disappears. It's just that scary thought that has been put in our head because our emotion is a lot more stronger than any pain in the body. Because I truly believe that if there's so much pain in the body, when the body cannot take it no more, our spirit will get out of that body. But our emotion is always going to be with us. Yes, and that's what I truly believe in because I went through so much pain for a year and a half, but I still kept on running, jogging, practicing yoga, and being vegan. And I remember when I went back to the hospital to see the doctor, he cannot believe it that I was walking again because I just had it. I mean, and the way that car hit me, I literally landed on the windshield. And I do not know. I guess I would call it the Oguns are looking after me because there's no way I should have even survived that.
Wow.
Excuse me. You said you landed on a wheelchair, Ade?
Windshield.
No, I landed
on the windshield. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, the windshield busted when I landed, and I'm a great fan of energy, and I remember I went to an energy healer, and they tell me I had to chill. And that's the reason why, you know, because I study metaphysics a lot. And when you study metaphysics sometimes, it's almost like you have to stop chasing material things. And those are the things that's very, very difficult to tell people in our culture, because that voice will speak to you what you need. You will have what you need at that moment, but you just won't have what people call wealth. If you need $2, you will have it. And when I began to practice those things, it blew me away, because even though I get up and do all these runs, I'm always outside of my body and looking down on myself, because, like, literally in the last 10 years, I have jogged 37,000 miles on a vegan diet.
37,000
miles on a vegan diet. I don't take no pills. I don't even put anything in my mouth. I have no shake, none of that biscuit. So I have 37,000 miles.
Excuse me, Ajay, but I just want you to repeat that sentence again, because it is so mind-boggling that I'm sure it's probably gone over many of our listeners' heads. How many miles have you run in what period of time, please?
Maybe in the last 10 years, about 37,000 miles. I probably should be at 40 if I start, because I have a map called Map My Run, and I have run 37,000 miles. And on my social media, because every time I run, it's like that's when God speaks to me or whatever you want to call it. So I have a blog that goes back as far back as 10 years. Like, literally, the only people that are promoting me right now that's talking about it is you and Miss Sandy, because to be of brown skin and have a mind of your own and to be homeless and just not care is mind-blowing. Like, you know, because when I was homeless, and a guy did an interview on me about my running, because I had run 100 miles, and my family saw it in Nigeria. They stopped talking to me because I'm telling them, look, they're lying to you. We have poor people in America. Like, literally, the people that we call friends right now are the ones on this radio and the few people, because I stood my ground. I'm for what you call the revolution of a black person. And I think what it is that is to have a free mind. Like, in this Atlanta, because I'm talking about, yoga, meditation, and running and not eating meat, that's why no one is talking about it, because majority of the people that runs in Atlanta, they eat meat.
Right.
And the fact that I'm talking about all these miles, and I'm talking about I got my inspiration from women, and I'm not eating meat, people don't want to hear that, because majority of them eat meat, and they take all these pills. I don't take nothing. I don't even know what it feels like to take a pill. You know, my pills are my apples and my tomatoes that I snack on.
Wow.
So, and that's what I've done for years. And I've been, I'm listening.
No, I was just, you were saying earlier, and I just wanted to make sure that we really got a hold to what you said, is that some Africans, I'm not sure if you said most, but some Africans believe that there are no poor people in America. Did I hear you say that?
Yes, you did, yes. Because, you know, the misconception that they gave us is like, because from the time we were a little boy, we were taught the English language. We were taught how to look up to somebody that we would never see. From the time we were little, we were taught that being an African is bad, that your ancestors are going to hell. And we're talking, and this is not a book. This is what happened to me. And I think that's where that rebellious comes from, because it's almost like for this culture that portrays itself to be so nice, and for me to read about what they did. And that's the reason why I never wanted to do anything, have anything to do with their lifestyle. If it means me being wealthy just spiritually and not pertaining, having anything material, I don't give a biscuit about, because I really, I truly find peace with myself. And the day that I found peace with myself was the day that I run 120 miles, and I was
wow.
on my feet for 33 hours. That's after I saw my ex-kid best to my son. That day, after that race, my life changed. If I die that day, I will never regret anything. I truly find peace because I realize I have never lost anything that I've done in my whole entire life but for that moment. I went to school because they told me to go to school. I played professional soccer because I liked the attention and they told me I was good. I've never lost anything. But that day, the only thing that I've ever lost in my life, I did it that day. And for me, after that, I find peace. That's why when I went through a divorce, homeless, I didn't really care because I already made peace with myself. You know, and when someone is speaking about wealth in the brain, it's almost like a lot of people is confused. When I was in the shelter, homeless, because I talk about my journey just the same way Bill Gates will come and tell you about how much money he has. I talked about that. And what really cracked me up is if I was a white person, I would be spiritual. Because I always said to myself, this guy called Jesus that everyone talks about don't have money, but I see clairvoyant because I always tell people, I don't drink, I don't smoke, and I don't eat no animals. So my clairvoyant is real clairvoyant. I can't even remember the last time I tasted wine. That's how disciplined I am. And for the past many, many years, I've always got up in the morning between 1 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the morning to meditate and do yoga. It doesn't matter. Even when I'm in a car, when I didn't have a place to stay, when I lived in a shelter, when I got hit by a car, I still get up and do the same thing that I'm doing right now. Like for the past 10 days, I decided, okay, I'm going to start running every day and let everyone know about it. And I've been doing it. You know, every day. Like, for example, my New Year's Day yesterday, I started out with a 30-mile celebration. I ran 30 miles yesterday. And I just,
celebration, 30 miles.
and that's what I did. And this morning, I did another 9 miles. And it's just not, and for me, it's just something greater because this whole thing that we've been brainwashed, especially because when we go into the shelter, we look at all the brothers in there, we think they're all our people from here. No, a lot of them are kids from different parts of the world. American dreams failed them and they lost their mind. And I've also noticed that everyone is talking about mental illness, but the people that talk about mental illness, that once you heal mental illness, they participate in what causes mental illness. So how are we supposed to get better when half of the people, they don't eat right? Because first of all, most of the mental illness that we have, especially in our culture, comes from the food that we eat.
Yeah.
You know, and the other day I told a guy, I said the only thing that can help mental illness, there's nothing wrong with praying to a God, but the reality is your brain is your God. You have to learn how to speak to your brain, because if you're having mental illness and you're praying to an entity that is outside of giving, it's almost impossible. So that's where the religion can fail, because you have to meditate whether you like it or not. You don't have to run 100 miles, but you have to be able to go outside into nature. Like, for example, when the baby is being born, if it doesn't have a bowel movement, they will tell you, put the baby in the sun. And the baby has a bowel movement. So that hasn't changed at all. Yes, when a baby is born, and sometimes a baby might be cluttered for like 6 days, and when they don't have a bowel movement, all you have to do, put them in the sun. Just go outside, put them in the sun. That baby will have a bowel movement.
That's a new one. I didn't know that one. That's great.
Me either.
Yeah, because
me either.
It happened with my son. And, you know, I did my research and someone told me, so I put him outside in the sun, and because for 10 days he didn't have a bowel movement. Put him outside in the sun and he did. So this little thing, this sun that we see all the time that we don't pay attention to is the most powerful sources that we ever have. And also, I think when it comes to our spiritual beliefs, the bullies, we can't even question the thing that they say, because that's what's killing, especially brown people. We cannot question what the bully says. because to be able to, first of all, one thing I truly admire the Bible, but I admire the word gluttony. And I don't give
it. What was that? What, say that again, Ade.
You admire what?
The word gluttony.
Glutton. Okay.
Yeah, gluttony.
Oh, the word
gluttony.
Glutton.
Yes,
okay.
I admire it because what you put in your mouth, you know, how can you talk about knowing God when you cannot understand how to put food in your system?
Mm. Well, isn't that one of the seven deadly sins? Gluttony is one of the seven deadly sins.
But
okay.
And that's why we're so judgmental because, you know, like I was telling Ms. Todd the other day, I said, this is the year that our preachers need to get involved in eating healthy. Like, for example, if I started talking right now, barely anyone would show up. But when Brother T.D. Jakes showed up, even though he doesn't practice what he preaches, everybody showed up. So what are we teaching our kids? Yes, everybody showed up, and we can't say nothing about that. You know, and it's really funny because people, every time they will talk, oh, yeah, they will sit down and talk about how African voodoo this, African voodoo that, but you let me talk about the meat that they eat or gluttony. They get upset. They don't preach about those things.
Right, right.
You know, they don't preach about
it. But they know it's killing
because,
their people.
Yes, but they never, ever preach about it.
But do they?
Yeah.
Do they know that it's killing their people? I mean,
I think they
of
do.
Course
you,
they do.
You think they do? Okay. Because I think that,
they do.
We just are like, you know, we're like got blindfolds on. We have cotton in our ears, even though there are some whisperings and sometimes some, some, what do they call it, public announcement messages or whatever. It seems to go over people's heads like, ain't nobody going to take. I mean, and sometimes they become very offended if you serve them something to eat that there is no meat in it. I mean, it's like you have done the dozens on their mama or something like that. You know, it's like they are very offended. How can you have something to eat and there is no meat in here? You know, Ade, I just am so enamored and empowered by your discipline. I mean, I was looking at the video that you sent me where you had gone out and had gone, you know, all these many miles, and all you had was two bananas, you know? I mean, that is just amazing, and you look good. I have to say that your face now has finally caught up with your age. Ade just turned 50 in November.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a full grown man now, working into being an elder. But he recently started growing a beard, and now he looks more, you know, adult-like. But before,
mature.
The young man looked mature. There you go. But before he got that beard at 48 and 49 years old, he looked like he was about 30. People, I'm telling you, this is the fountain of youth. You know, exercise and eating God's groceries, to coin Sandy's book title. Eating God's groceries and exercising is the fountain of youth. And I'm backing out. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Hireless
example.
I'm listening.
Repeat that, Star.
I said to Ade, thank you for the tireless example from your personal discipline and effort. And you know what? Maybe many of us are not paying attention or listening, but I can bet you dime to a donut that people outside of our race are paying attention and they are listening and they are hoping that our people still are sleeping and don't, because we represent a $1 trillion profit for others as far as health issues, medical issues, you know, surgical issues, chemotherapy issues, as long as we stay unenlightened. So they don't want your message to get out, because I come from Portland, Oregon. That is the home of both Nike and Adidas. My brother, you should not want for anything. You should have all kind of shoe endorsements, okay, from Nike and Adidas, you know, one or the other. So even though you have not been recognized in that way, you are my hero. You show us what the human body is capable of doing. And I just thank you so much. And I'm so glad that you are starting off our show, Now What? Where Do I Go From Here? To our audience, not only today, but in the days and months and years that follow, because they can come back and listen to this on our archive show. Thank you so much for showing up and living your purpose for us.
Oh, thank you. You know, I'm very grateful that I was, you know, that I'm invited here. Because another thing that I've also noticed with this vegan diet is it's really funny how, because of my lifestyle, I can't even go among my own African community. You know, the other day someone said, "Where are you from?" I said, "Trust me, I'm from Atlanta right now." People said, "No," because the truth is, yeah, because that's all I know. I have not been an African for over 15 years. I don't even know how to be an African. Because, the only thing that I knew is my Black American culture. And when I tell people that, when I studied Black American culture, I became a scholar, I started running, nobody wants me to say that because I'm embracing Black people from here. And it really just, it's so funny. And I've noticed that That trigger is with Black people here and Black people from Africa, and they have one thing in common. They all go to church. Like right now, my lifestyle, I don't even go into African communities. Yeah, I don't. Because we argue so much about religion, I can't even go there.
Yeah.
Are you banned?
Am I
what?
So to speak? Are you banned? So to speak.
Am I banned? No, probably yes, because we just fight so much. And it's really funny because when people say, "Y'all, you're African," I'm looking and I'm just sitting there, because when an African sees me, the first thing they say to me, "You don't look like one of us." And especially I don't eat meat. No, and we don't have spiritual belief, because because when we study history, there's the Tinubus, the Fela, then the Mandelas. My great-grandfather, they were part of the revolutionary movement that spread to this country. So where I'm coming from, I'm just doing the same thing that my great-grandparents have done.
Yeah.
Because everyone always wanted to study, you know, because my grandparents were, before I wouldn't tell anyone my culture, my grandparents, when they didn't go to church. We worship the tree. We worship nature. And as I get older, and for people to say so many degrading things about my culture, and they've never lived among those people, I don't even want to have nothing to do with them.
Right,
unlike most Africans, they stayed in the city. Like for me, when I went to Africa for that 8 years, from the age of 8, from London to Nigeria, I literally live in the village among primitive people. We don't take no pills. We don't even have a fridge. We go fresh water, you know, in the ground. We don't have none of that. So that's the lifestyle that I was brought up with, and is why it was so easy for me to come back to vegan. But I didn't even know. So we did not do all this. I live in the country among primitive people. You know, so, and when people come up with all this ideology and quoting a book and telling me where I'm going, I just like, I just don't want to hear it, because you never stay with these people. I live with them. This is not me telling a story. I stay with these people. I sleep with them, eat with them every day. So for a book to come and say that those people are evil, I just think it's wrong. And I think it is time that we take that biscuit back, because they've degraded people that they don't know so much. And it's very common with the church people. For a long time in Nigeria, a church person can go and set a black another person who don't go to church on fire.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yes, they will go and set them on fire for not believing in Jesus.
Yeah.
They will beat them. I grew up seeing that. So, and we're not allowed to say that. And it still goes on in certain places today. So it's almost, you know, and because money is tied into this religion too, we are,
yeah,
because when
yeah.
Even though up to tomorrow, what the missionaries are doing to the primitive people, it's just not cool.
Yeah.
You know, they can go. There's this thing called witchcraft. They say they use, you practice witchcraft, they will stone you to death in front of people, set you on fire.
Wow.
Well, that's also intimidation, you know, to those people that don't. I mean, it's the same thing as, you know, back in the slavery days, when a slave would run away, then they would bring them back to the, once they got caught, they would bring them back and publicly chop their foot off or something to, you know, induce fear. Well, you know, to the other slaves, if you run away, this is what's going to happen to you. I know I, you know, just recently, that was actually, it was Christmas Eve, I went and got my nails done, and I'm just kind of curious, you know, with the people from other countries that are here, and in this case, it's the Asians that, you know, run the nail shops and everything. They all have, like, American names, you know, Susie and all that kind of stuff. And so I just asked my nail technician, so what do you celebrate around this time of the year? And she goes, oh, well, I'm Catholic, you know, and I just listened. I thought, okay, you know. But I know typically that people that are Asians are Buddhists or whatever, and I think that a lot of times you assimilate what the norm or the group dynamic is in order for you to assimilate and feel, you know, that you don't put anybody off. So instead of your name being a name that folks are not going to pronounce, they could if they practice, but, you know, that's part of punishing you for being different, then you just go on and take like an English name or American name or whatever. That's so prevalent in this climate that we're in. And it has you afraid to be what you authentically are. And that's where we are as a group of people. You know, I mean, I know that people don't want to hear this, but we actually were forced to become Christians. We were forced to do that. And because we don't have that word of mouth, because we're not griots anymore, where we pass down our history, you know, people don't know that now. They don't remember that. But yes, you could have a public assembly, and that public assembly was, you could go to church, and one of your own, now would preach the Bible, but let's not forget, the overseer was in the church making sure that that preacher was saying what they were supposed to say in order to keep us in line, okay? Because, first of all, they wanted to erase the power that they knew that our religion gave us, the overseer, the slave person. They could not deal with the power of our own religion. So they made it so that the house people and all of that would tell on the people that would go off into the woods at night and would still practice their own religion because they were afraid of it. It was magical. And so they put these negative connotations that it was voodoo, it was this, it was that, and anybody that did that was evil and all of that stuff. It's just indoctrination. And we have to, I mean, you can still have a choice, people. I'm not saying that you can't have a choice, but it's important to know where all of these beliefs come from. And they come out of fear. When people don't understand a culture, then they make it bad. And so I just had to say that. I'm sorry, but it's out now. I can't make it go back in. So thank you, Ade, for bringing that up from a perspective of someone that's lived on several sides of the fence. I appreciate you sharing that with us today.
No, thank you.
And audience, if you have a comment, a question, or would like to be a part of the live discussion, our call-in number is 516-531-9819. And you would just hit 1 on the dial to let us know you want to speak live on air with us. If you have something specific for our day, now would be the time to do that. And our day, you know, I'm really so into the lessons that you're teaching today. And one of the most important lessons is one that I'm hearing repeated in a number of different circles, and that is that gluttony section and how you can run on a very limited amount of food while we're taught, you know, you got to eat 3 different meals. And then you have to have snacks in between. You got to count your calories. You got to do this. You got to have all these different aspects in what you're eating every day. And I think even some people that are vegans and vegetarians or raw food, they have a tendency to be a glutton in the amount that they consume too. So I would just like for you to, if you have any more to add on to that, because I think that could very well be part of our issue, you know, because you said that mental illness is caused by the food and stuff. So I just want to hear a little bit more on that, please.
Okay, for example, Ms. Sandy, I'm looking at my app right now, and this app said I have burned. This is how much calories I burned. Listen to this. It says 33,000. The number that I said, it said 33,000. I think I've burned over 38 million calories.
38 million.
Yes, this thing, the number here is 331, then 4083. That's how much calories.
What does that relate to? What does that relate to?
That relates to calories. It relates to over 30. Because calories, because everyone always talk about where do you get your calories? How do you get your protein? And I'm like, what is protein? These things are all made up in the mind, because according to that number, I should not be leaving right now. Because why I've burned over 38,000 calories.
Oh God!
If it's up to that number, I should not be leaving right now. You see how much calories I've burned?
Oh, that is so brilliant! And thank you for saying that. Oh my God!
Yeah, you know, because it's all in the brain. Your body doesn't know what a calorie is. You just eat. We don't even have that word in Africa. All the body
really
needs to be full. And no, in Nigeria, I never had calories until we moved back to the Western world. Nobody gives a biscuit about that.
Oh, my God.
You know,
absolutely love it.
You know, because is are you hungry? Yes. Are you full? Yes, that's it. Calories is just a myth. This people made that biscuit up, because if that, according to calories, I should be dead by now. Because what is it? I've burned over 38,000 calories.
That's 3 million, because it was 3 million.
Yes, 3 million calories. That's the number that I just called for you. 3 million calories.
Yeah.
And I'm still speaking.
Yeah.
And I'm still speaking. Yes, I'm still speaking. I've burned over 3 million calories.
because I'm looking at the app right now. That's why I called that number out. So if that, you know, if that was really, really a calorie, I should be gone. I shouldn't even be leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and the 20, when I run 26. Huh?
I said that's so important. Because like you were saying, you know, all these words are made up, protein and calories and all of that stuff and carbohydrate. And we get to start thinking about all of this stuff. And it's really something that has been made up. I just love it. I've never thought about it from that perspective. And I just absolutely love how you're breaking this down for us.
You should see every time when people that run marathons, when they want me to talk, everybody will bring out a pen and a paper. And I'm sitting there laughing because they want to know what I eat for my nose, what chicken I eat for my nose, what chicken I lick for my bones. So when I get up there and I'm telling them, well, I have two bananas, you should see everyone's face. Because they come out with a book, they want to know what calories I eat. But I'm talking about a banana and an apple, and everybody's looking at me like, what? But that is it. When I run, like yesterday, I run 30 miles. All I had is two apples and an avocado. There are days I run 26 miles, and when I'm on my feet for 14 hours, I will only have one avocado, three bananas, and a pear.
Wow.
And I will run 50 miles. But because I'm saying it, and I look like everyone, and I've been. I post it on the social media. I show them the food that I'm eating. And it really cracks me up when people say, oh, don't you get sore? I said, the reason why you get sore when you go for a long walk or a long jog is the toxin in the meat that is going into your veins. Because mind you, yes, I was on my feet for 8 hours yesterday. I run 30 miles. And this morning, early at 4 a.m., I got up again and run another 9 miles.
Wow.
Because I don't carry no toxin in my body, and I stretch, and I meditate. But it's so funny when I hear these people, people will come up to me, and it's almost like the way people look at it, if it's coming out of a black man's mouth, it is not true. We subconsciously program to look down on
it.
Yeah, that's true. When I go into places and I'm talking, the fact that I have this tiny little body, and I have this skin color. People are looking at me like, what? And I'm saying, I don't understand it. Because unless you are white, you cannot tell black people anything. They will not listen to you.
Yeah.
Ms. Sandy, in this Atlanta, I have been doing the same thing for over 10 years. How did I make Ms. Star? There was a magazine that wrote an article about me. That's how Ms. Star called me, and I was so excited.
Yeah.
Well, I know because a lot of times, what I'll do is I'll say, and it's written in a book by a white person. that's a sad reality, but you're absolutely correct in your statements. Absolutely.
Yeah, because our skin, because of our skin, what people don't realize, because the way our skin is, we need more sun. We cannot eat the way a white person eat, and we don't realize that we need more sun. So when we go outside, every time you hear a black person having a heart attack while they were playing in the sun, that's not real. It's because of the food that they eat.
Yeah.
When it's 100 degrees outside, you and I can go out and do what we need to do. We will never pass out.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're vegan, you're more in tune with the sun. So the sun's energy, the solar, will feed you more. We don't get fed by the sun anymore. We let food do everything for us. And that's the reason why we fall into all this praise. Because when they say, when I see runners, they just crack me up. They have to have a milkshake, that shake. And I'm like, God, at least not even that serious. They have milkshake for everything. Yeah, so hilarious. I'm telling you, I'm just looking, I'm sitting down there like, is it this serious? They have a milkshake for their nose, a milkshake for their eyes, they have gel. It is so ridiculous. And I'm looking, I'm like, I said, look, these people that write about all this running, the technique of the body, they do not look like you. We're not. It's not about being racist. It's just the reality, because, like, the body of a brown person carries more of his energy from the sun
right.
than a Caucasian person would.
That's true. Yes.
But we
in the form of
we
in the form of melanin, right? Isn't melanin the source
yes.
of that?
Yes. As
yes.
melanin person,
yes.
you know, especially black people, we're supposed to eat very light.
Mm.
yeah. Plant-based and very light is our diet.
Yeah.
Because we have too much energy. You know, you have the sun's energy, then you put all this food in your system. We're supposed to eat very light. Because
and, you know, I can get that. I can get that, Ade, because, and I'm not going to go a lot into it, but periodically through the year, I'll do a urine fast where I'm not eating for 30, 45 days. And my energy is just, like, off the charts. I have to actually go and, like, hug a tree to bring my energy down. And so, I, you know, in collaboration with what you just said, the less I eat, the better I feel.
Thank you. Miss Sandy, you know what's so funny? Last week, year, I had that voice again that said to me, go back to your urine. Drinking every morning
okay.
to finish healing your back. So I started drinking my urine first thing in the morning, every morning.
Good.
So
I do
too.
Wow.
Every
morning, bare minimum for me.
Urine, every morning I drank it because my, you know, because I was saying, okay, what's next? So when I was meditating, someone told me, okay, now I started, go back to your urine. Because now you want to open your back, so this is the final healing. So I went back to drinking my urine. I did it for 8 months. Every morning, I would drink my urine, you know, until the voice said, okay, that's it, stop. And that's how I healed my back. It's so funny. For 8 months.
Wow.
So we went to somewhere
yeah, wow.
everyone was eating, and they were all drinking their beer, and they were talking about me drinking urine. And I had to say to them, I said, you guys are really sick. I said, if you could drink this beer and you cannot drink your own urine, there's something wrong with
you. Right.
But the truth is, the reason why people will not drink their own urine is because they know subconsciously that their body, their system is not clean. When you drink your urine, it's because you are falling in love with yourself and you know your system is clean.
Yeah.
And
but even
that like
though, you know, the urine helps to clean your body as well. So, but I do believe that there is a fear, and I think the fear is in that speech that Marianne Williamson wrote for. I can't call his name. Nelson Mandela. You know, you're afraid of your own power.
Your own brilliance.
I believe that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I believe that people really feel that at a level that they can't explain. And so they refuse to drink their urine because they're like, oh my God, what if this is true? You know, what if I do have all of this power, and what if I can do this and I can do that? So I think a lot of that is based in fear. So, yeah. But I'm glad to know that that's part of your routine. I've been doing it for a number of years now. I lost count, probably eight. But, yeah, that's the bare minimum is that first thing. But I love it when I do the extended fast, you know, the 30, 45 days and like that. Yeah.
And I think that's just it, because that misinformation is so much that, for example, when I was going through the whole homeless immigration issue, I just knew that all I have to do is just be in the moment. It took them 4 years, but they were giving my green card, and I said it. And I didn't. And people were looking at me crazy. And so one of the kids that I used to mentor, Six, who's a professional fighter, he always asked me, why didn't you get upset with people? I said, because we have different opinions. He said, why? He said, they eat me. I said, they eat me. I don't eat me. So we think different. That's it.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah. I don't get offended to what anyone says, because I'm thinking in my head, well, you know what? you don't eat meat, they eat meat, so you think differently. So that's why I don't take
offense
to nothing.
Thank you for saying that, because that's a good thing to keep in mind, too, because I know a lot of times when Star and I are out or we're in the company of different people, we're saying that, you know, but not from that consciousness that you just shared with us, is that, you know, we're basically eating raw food, you know, and not, and sometimes we just kind of look at each other like, wow, that came out of their mouth. They really believe that. But so that gives a whole different perspective. Thank you, Ade. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I don't really think about it, because I don't even get upset. People ask, why don't you get upset? I said, you know, because I said, look, we're not enemies. It's that we eat different. You're thinking like a meat and a goat, and I'm thinking like a leaf. So it's just different. It's okay.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah, that's the way I look at
awesome.
It. I never get upset. They can tell me anything. They can cuss me out. That's why, no offense, when a meat eater gives me advice, I just act like I didn't hear it. Because they are...
Wow.
I don't say nothing.
That.
I just act like I didn't hear it. Because I don't say... Because I always... It never failed me. Most of the time, they are acting from fear.
Yeah.
Right. That's just it.
Right.
They asking for
fear,
and you
fear and ignorance. Fear and ignorance.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So when a meat eater gives me advice, I don't do nothing. That's why I always have, look, all these people that like to get drunk and drink or a lot of liquors, if they do not eat meat for 6 days or 20 days, that craving for wanting to get drunk would disappear.
Wow.
A lot of people are strong on alcohol because of the meat that they eat. It would disappear. Yes, it would disappear. But these things you can't even say, you know, because people get angry. When you don't eat meat and sleep next to a dog, you'll just be amazed. I can't believe the dogs smell like us. All these animals, they do the same thing that we do. And you cannot, you know, and I'm not saying don't eat meat, but I'm saying don't attack people who do not eat meat.
Right.
Yes. And that's what I see a lot. It's okay, you wanna eat meat? Fine. But don't attack people who do not eat meat.
Right.
When you
don't
eat meat, people talk bad on you. Even in the Bible, it talks about the royal food. The royal food are your fruit and your veggies.
Right.
It didn't say that you eat meat. Unless you do not understand that thing, because it's written in a content, an English content. Unless they can, because I've read it 3 times. So in that book, it talks about, yes, ma'am.
And we're right now, I'm getting ready to share, we are right now in the midst of churches going on with their congregation, the Daniel diet, okay, whereas they are asking their parishioners to jointly and as a group eat plant-based food only. And it's based on the fact of, I don't know, but something to the fact that Daniel refused the opulent food of the king and chose to eat, you know, plant-based, and how he excelled in his health and the king, you know, got worse. But what I find so very interesting is that for that 30 days that the church is on the Daniel fast, many of them, you know, boast about how they didn't need as much of their medication as they did before, how they have very easily and effortlessly lost weight, how they have more energy, how they have lost the mental fog. But on day 31, people, the whole congregation go back and start eating what they ate before, which is just, it blows my mind. For 30 days, you were pain-free. You could walk better. You didn't need the medication. You know, you lost weight. You cannot connect the dots that it was your diet that had you sick. It blows my mind. I just had to say that right now. So, yes.
And, you know, that would be a place where the leaders of the religious organizations could really positively impact the lives of the people that follow them. To
yes.
suggest that Daniel fight, Daniel way of living, because I do not like the word diet. You know, just in that whole word.
Daniel fast.
Is a, you know,
Daniel
yeah,
fast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that diet, I'm just saying, you know, when we talk about words, because Audet had mm-hmm. was talking about the origin of the word God, and you know that our brain is our God, and not this other entity that has been made up. So, but you know, if we can continue with lifestyle of the Daniel fast, then I believe that a lot of good and a lot of benefit can happen from those religious institutions. That and that was the point that I was making with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because
I agree.
I have a habit every morning where I write to my whole body. I write to my brain. Whatever comes in, the first thing I acknowledge, the moon, the star, and I always speak to my brain. I used to write down, you know, because they would teach you manifestation. Yeah, I want money.
Right.
No, for me now, it has become me writing. I could just choose my leg and say, teach me your wisdom. I don't ask
wow.
the universe for money. I write to my body every morning. It could be my nose. Whatever comes to my mind, I would say, teach me your wisdom. That's my prayer. I don't ask, yeah,
wow.
read, no. I write to my body. Every morning, I ask, it could be my eye, I would say, teach me your wisdom. It could be my
wow.
brain. I wrote to my body when I was in pain, and my body got better. I had a tooth, fell out of my tooth, decayed. I don't have no health insurance. I remember that morning I meditated, and that tooth fell off itself. And this is no joke. My tooth is still there right now. So,
wow.
And every morning it is my habit to write to one part of my body. And I will say, teach me your wisdom. I don't even have the energy to write down and say, God, give me a Mercedes-Benz anymore. It just doesn't make no sense because it's not reality. Because everything that I need has already been given to me. Instead, every morning, I write to either my elbow or my nose or whatever comes into my head. But the first thing I acknowledge every morning is my brain. So if we cannot acknowledge these fingers, we hold the phone with it, we eat with it, but not once do we acknowledge it. The
wow.
earth gave us food, but not once do we take care of it. Because this morning when I was jogging, what came into my mind was nature. Because I looked at this ground. This ground feeds us.
Yeah.
But we don't respect it. We don't praise it. But we will praise an entity that we don't even know existed. It is so funny. I always tell people, especially church people, there should be a day where every day we go and say hello to the sun, the moon. Because if that thing stops shining, we will starve to death.
Yes, yes.
That's what provides our food. If that thing stops shining, we'll be in trouble. And with all the big women that they have in church, and nobody goes to the moon and say thank you. And those are the things that we need to think of, because every morning I stop asking God for money. I don't ask God for money. I ask my body, my bones, to teach me his wisdom. That's all I ask every single morning. And I do it with my left hand. And when
what's the significance of your left hand?
Because my left hand is my creative side. So most people, because I'm right-handed, when we begin to learn how to write with our opposite hand, that's the beginning of your meditation. Because right now, that left hand is dead. If you are right-handed and you're trying to brush your teeth with the left hand, your tongue will curl up on you. Because
your
that
what,
side.
Your, say that again. Say that again.
Your tongue.
Your what?
You know, like our tongue.
Or your thumb.
It will curl.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it will curl up on you. It will just curl up. right in your mouth, right there. When you're trying to brush your teeth with your left hand. Because you haven't used that side of the brain.
But doesn't that also align your brain when you are able to do things with both the right and the left side?
Yes, that's what I do every day. I've been doing it for years. It took me 6 months to learn how to write with my left hand. And every day I write to my body to let it know that I acknowledge it. Every morning.
I was saying I broke my right arm when I was a child, and I learned how to write with my left hand, and I can still do it, but I don't make a practice of it. So thank you. I'm going to get back into doing that.
Yeah, because it balances your brain. Because I do that every
Love
morning.
Love it. Yeah.
Every morning.
And also, the left side of our body is our receiving side. So,
yes.
Whereas the right side is the giving side. So the left side is the feminine side, because receiving is a feminine essence, whereas the right side is the giving, which is a masculine essence. So by being able to be ambidextrous like that, then we are able to balance our male and our female body, parts of our body. That's awesome.
Yeah, and that's why when people hear he runs 100 miles, I don't know, 100 miles. I said, have you ever seen a woman push out a baby? When you go and see a woman push out a baby. Yeah, it really cracked me up that we don't take those things serious.
Yeah.
It blew me the biscuit away that we don't take birth serious. Do we even know, because we always talk about Superman. Well, the reason why the guy become Superman was because all the energy, all the nutrition that he needed, he got it from that metaphysics energy that a woman portrayed from the beginning.
Yes, yeah.
We don't use senses when it comes to our spirituality. I don't care who you are. If you do not accept a God is a woman, you're literally living in denial. But people will get angry with you because that's what makes sense to the logical brain.
It does.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yes. So you could create
and that,
all these things, but at the end of the day,
information
God is a woman.
Suppressed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, and
that's
why we're so weak,
because
if you... Yeah.
Absolutely. I was going to say, I'm trying to be quiet because the audience hears me all the time. I want them to hear you. So let me just mute my phone.
Oh, because the fact that I'm a guy and I'm talking like this, people are looking at me like, well, I said, look, when you study a woman, like, for example, when you look at the full moon when it comes out in the next couple of days, it's a woman carrying a baby in her stomach. Every time we go into the hospital and they take a picture and see the baby, no, that's been probably took a picture of the moon because all the grams or whatever it is that they took, they all look the same, whether it's a black kid or a white kid.
Yeah.
All pictures look the same. And I think it because when the full moon is out, it's like a woman carrying a baby.
Uh-huh.
We don't even go outside and look at that. Because when your feminine side is dead on you, that's your gut. That's why it's very hard to understand God, because it's funny sometimes when I see a woman get angry because I say God is a woman. That really puzzles me. When I tell a woman I believe in a woman God, that God is a woman, they literally get angry.
But you just said it. Right, spirituality doesn't make sense, you know, from that perspective that we don't question it. I know that I actually did. There's a couple of books on that, you know, When God Was a Woman, and was one of the books that I used in this this book club. And it's just really interesting, like you say, Ade, how people will just frown up and just be like, oh, where you get that from? You know, that don't even make sense. But you'd be like, so, okay, if God is masculine, so God did not think, this intelligent energy did not think about its being going forward, as in childbirth, within itself that it had to create a substandard species in order to carry humankind aloft. That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we can't think like that, you know?
Yeah, because they don't allow us to think. And
when we don't,
I was guilty of it once until I started reading and doing my own research. And I realized, I was joking with someone the other day. I said, man, this looking young thing is not working to my advantage. Because I see all these 25-year-olds flirting with me, and I'm looking at them like, look, I'm your dad. But I don't qualify for sugar daddy, you know, because I don't drive a nice car. I don't drive a nice car, and the qualification for sugar daddy is to have a lot of money, drive a nice car, and have a low sex drive. And I'm just keeping it real, and almost have a heart attack. That's the qualification for it. But when I see women who are around my age, when I'm trying to talk to them, they want to give me their groceries to carry. They want me to help them carry their groceries. They treat me like I'm some little kid. Yeah, they treat me like I'm a little kid. Like, here, carry this. And I'm like, I'm in a no-win situation right now. This is not working. This looking young thing. But I love it because it's so hilarious.
That beard has helped. That beard helps a bit. It really does, you know. Because before you got the beard, I could almost smell the mother's milk on your breath. You were looking so young.
I picked up a lady the other day because I said, because I drive Uber. And when she told me her age, my heart just dropped. Can't believe it. My heart dropped. I never felt that kind of emotion before. She's just a year older than me. But I kid you not,
How old was she?
About 16. She's 51, but she looked like, a year older than me. But she's 51, but she looked like she is 69 years old. I cannot believe it.
Oh, wow.
It baffled me. And, you know, it baffled me so much that even though, because I said I'm 50 and you want to start playing with me a bit, I didn't like the way I responded because I just cannot believe she looked that old. It scared the biscuit out of me. It baffled me.
Wow.
And I didn't say nothing because I don't like you, you know. And, of course, you're trying to lecture me about Jesus. And I just sat there and listened, but I cannot believe that the beautiful woman like that would let herself go. When she tell me she's 51, when I see 51-year-old these days or 50-year-old, I just can't believe it. This is not even a joke anymore. When I see 40-something-year-old, I cannot believe it. When I'm hanging out with these 28, 30-year-old, they think we're the same age, and I'm sitting there looking at them, look, I'm your dad. Like, 50-year-old, like, this age is going to that stage right now where we really need to talk about this thing. When you see 50-year-old, that's why every time I see Miss Sandy, you and Mr., I should shake my head and laugh because you look like, and I'm not going to mention any name. Both of you look younger than one of the girls that I used to date.
Wow.
I'm just keeping it real.
Well, thank you. Thank you very
much. And
Miss
Sandy, know that girl. Miss Sandy, know that girl.
Okay.
You both look younger than the girl that I used to date.
Sandy knows
today.
It too.
Thank you.
Okay.
And those things, we need to talk about it more. It's not even a joke anymore. You both of you look younger than
Indeed.
The girl that I used to date. I did it that.
Yeah.
You know.
But you hit it on the head. Hit it on the head in the beginning, Ade, is from the food. And people won't hear that. They won't hear it. And so they put on these false lashes and they put on false hair. And they put on false hips and they put on because they don't feel the authentic self that lies underneath all of that. Because just like they're looking for the God that is up in the sky, they can't trust that they have the God within them, like you found, and like I found, and like Star found.
Oh, my
found.
God.
Yeah.
Say it again, sister. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Yeah. Like these days, when I see teenagers who in their 20s, it's funny. Like, when all these 22-year-old girls are flirting with me, you know, I just go look in the mirror sometimes and be like, oh, man, I see a girl like that. I just go like that. I just go to the mirror the next day, like, yeah, I still looking good. You know, because, you know, I'm not gonna lie. I'm just be honest, because when they play with me, I'm just sitting in the car, I'm lost. Like, wow, you got to be kidding me. But I know that I'm not sure. I don't qualify for sugar daddy. I got to take them to Red Lobster and all that. I can't do that.
Right.
But I meet them every day. They approach me, but I just cannot take them. And it's so funny. They approach me, but because I cannot take them to a place that's going to sell them food, that's going to kill them, I don't get to date them.
Yeah. Right. How about that?
Yeah. So where do you go, Ade? Where would a person that thinks like you, that has behaviors like you, where would you go to find your equal match, your yoked, equally yoked person? Because apparently,
that one of them was probably yesterday, but I missed it because I had to go and do my meditative jog.
Oh gosh. who would be your perfect woman? Because
you know,
there are a lot of women out there that really would like a good, honest man. What does that woman have to look like in order to be equally yoked to you? And does she exist?
I know that she exists because, like, for example, my young friend that I said you guys look older than, when I dated that young lady, my intentions was like, okay, she looks like my grandmother, and my grandmother is beautiful. And one of the reasons why I even broke up with her was she literally sat me down one day and asked me, what am I doing with her that she saw my ex-wife and she doesn't know why I want to date her? And that just really broke my heart when she said that.
Mm.
And it's not the looks for me. I'm past that. It's just the behavior. The looks, I can get women. I can talk to any woman. As you can see, I can run my mouth. It's not the looks. It's that behavior has to come from within.
Yeah.
It's not, all that prettiness. My mom was pretty. Every woman, my sisters, cousins, they're all pretty.
Right.
But a good heart
is
what it is. You know? And unfortunately, right now, no excuse. It is, I won't say it's difficult, but people are doing what I used to do. That's the way I look at it. Because I was once like everybody. Because, man, when I was lying and cheating, man, I had so many girlfriends. When I was lying,
you were lying and cheating. So are you saying that women like the bad boys over?
Yes, when I was lying,
guy?
Cheating. Yes, cheating. I have so many girlfriends. I mean, women will cry over me. That's why when when my son's mom and I broke up, she said, "You don't have a job. I gotta leave you." I just started laughing because I'm looking. I'm like, man, that was years ago. No woman will ever break up with me because I would have dated her cousin and her best friend.
Jeez.
Because that's what it, that food that I'm being so honest. That's the kind of food that I eat. That's what it made me do. What I put in my system.
Okay.
Before that's why I give it to her. I just sit out there and just start laughing at her when she's dumped. No, I can't believe I'm getting dumped. It's so hilarious to me. That's why I can never get upset with her. Because before she dumped me, I would have been with her cousin. And it's so funny. That's what most of these women like because of the food that they eat.
Yeah.
Because from the moment I started seeing God as a woman, bound to women, man, I have never been so dizzed by a woman so much in my entire life from the time I started respecting them. It is so funny. When I disrespected women, I have plenty of them.
Yeah.
And that's really a sad reality. Yes, it's a sad reality. And that made me realize
yeah.
that, wow, I never want to go back to that way anymore, where I have to lie to a woman. I told you, when I moved to this country, every foreigner that I come down here will come down here married to stay in this country. I refuse to do that. I've been in this country for over 15 years. I said I would never marry my sister for a paper because I know if this was 1888, I would not be needing no visa. And I did not marry until it was real. And I watched all my friends, my cousins, and what really killed me, they go to church every day, they come and marry a sister just to stay in this country. And to me, I'm looking at it like, if I do that, that means I disrespect my ancestors who were slaves in this country. And I never did. I never married anyone until it was real. Because I just couldn't do it. I just cannot do it. And I see
that's called integrity.
Yes. You know, and because of it set me back. I have so many opportunities, so many jobs, but I just refuse to lie. Because when I begin to practice my African tradition, it means everything you do has to be truthful.
Yeah.
And if it means being straightforward and it won't earn you money, I was ready to do that. And I did. And I can look at myself right now and be proud of it.
Yeah.
I never lied in anything that I did. Because that's just not the way of the Ifa. That's not the Yoruba way. I started being corrupt. And I shouldn't say I'm not being disrespectful to anyone. Man, when I started hanging out with my cousin and they said some guy will forgive your sins, you could do whatever you want. Oh, my goodness, I run away with that biscuit. I run away with it. But when I had to go back, when I started studying different ideologies, Eastern philosophy, and I had to go back and I had to live a pure life, it was very difficult because that pure life means you know the wealth of God. And a lot of times the wealth of God is already in you, but it's not that material. Oh, my goodness. And the way people judge, they talk, but I just don't care. And once again, it's the me. So when I was lying, I can talk to women, mister. I got flair, Mr. Andy. I can talk to any woman. But the fact that I do not eat those animals, those foods, and I'm the way that I am, and I'm saying a woman is a god, women do not like to hear it.
Yeah.
And like Ms. Sandy said, it's a sad reality. Yeah, women do not like to hear it. And especially when I'm talking about Brahmacharya, because right now I truly, truly believe that laying next to a woman is only for having babies. I truly believe that. Like, I always look at them and say they're going to church, that, we believe in God. No. A lot of our religious people, they overeat and they sex too much to understand God. You want to be, you want to study spirituality and be disciplined, study the yogis. You're not supposed to have sex the way you have sex. These people sex, they sex and eat too much, including all the preachers.
Yeah.
So that's not, that's
especially
not, that's
the
not
preachers.
The way to God. Yeah,
he said, especially the preachers. they got a harem going on.
And we can talk about it.
We're coming up on a close.
I know.
Are they? We're coming up on the last minute or so. And I am just captivated by what you're saying. But if you could give us some closing thoughts. Things to think about, I would certainly appreciate that. And we're going to have to bring you back on the show again. But we got one minute.
Absolutely.
What I would say is reality, write down your emotions. Anytime, anything that you could write down that you cannot show somebody else, not because you've been secretive, but because your subconscious mind tells you to, when you write that thing down, that's when you begin to understand God.
Okay.
I love it.
Ooh, a day, a day, a day. I blessed the day I saw the article about you at Whole Foods. You have been a whole friend to me, and thank you so much for giving your truth, your enlightenment to Sandy and I and all of our listeners. Thank
yes,
you so
yes.
much.
Certainly appreciate you, and you have started us off this new year, this new decade, with such wisdom. I've taken so many notes, and plus I'm going to go back and listen to this show again because I know I did not have enough room on this piece of paper to write down everything. And so my heart belongs to you on this day for sharing so freely with us. And for the rest of the listeners, we'll see you guys next week because we are completely out of time. My love and blessings to you all day. Star, thank you for agreeing to be on this journey with me. And we'll see you guys next week.
Absolutely. All right. Bye, everyone.
All right. Bye-bye.